And I hope you trusted Jesus, because He will help you. You're broken today. Sin has broken you, has destroyed you, has left you to yourself, beside yourself, with no help. Please cry out. Please cry out to Jesus. And Jesus will stretch out His hands, and He'll say, come, I'll help you. That's my Jesus He's saying about. Thank you, Brother Toby. Thank you for joining our church. Not too long, right? Maybe a year now. And if you are considering maybe joining the church, some of the prerequisite for people to do anything moving forward. So join the church. Be a part of a local church, all right? Anybody that have been recently got baptized, if you would want to talk to me about that, that would be your next move. Please let me know. If I'm going to get done, I need to get moving. So, Romans chapter number 15. We want a miracle, even if it's Pastor Chris just getting done on time. Romans chapter number 15. Pastor said, well, give me $100. He said, if I get done right at noon. So, I'm on a mission today. I love the smiles. It helps us to be lighthearted a little bit because it's a dark world. Let the light shine. It's not comedic. Comedic is the solution. It's not, but it helps us when we smile. We realize we're humans. We can laugh at the things that we do and the things that we don't do right. All right? But praise the Lord. In all seriousness, God is seeking somebody today maybe that doesn't know Him. Somebody today, if I ask you this question, if it was just you and me in the room, in the privacy of the moment, and I ask you, if your life would be over here, where would you spend eternity? Would you go to heaven? Are you sure of that? Are you 100% sure? And if your answer would be, I don't care who you are today, old or young, I don't care if you're a woman or a man, and you ask, I ask that question, and your answer to me is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not 100%. Well, let me give you a word of warning. There is a destination that none of us want to go. And it's because of sin. And I don't have to remind any sinner that they're a sinner. Most sinners know they're a sinner. They just don't want to deny it when they talk to other people about it. But when they know that they're a sinner, they know that there's no hope in themselves. Jesus provided the hope. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave us redemption when we were in condemnation. He gave us a way out when there was no way out. He gave us help when nobody else wanted to help us. Jesus came for you. If you're lost today, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. May I say to this, just trust Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart, trust Him, and know and nothing else, no one else, to get you to that place in heaven. He said in John 14, verse 6, clear as day, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, mankind, of any woman or children, young or old, you cannot, no man can go to heaven except by me. Nobody can go to the Father except by Jesus Christ. For only Jesus died on the old rugged cross to pay for your sin. He was the Lamb of God that came to this earth to be the propitiation for our sins. Why? I said that word. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ died for every woman and children, man and anyone that is on earth that needs salvation. Jesus provides it for you. You don't have to go anywhere. This church can't get you to heaven. This preacher can't get you to heaven. No one can get you to heaven except for Jesus. Jesus alone. For only Jesus alone died to pay for it. But God commended His love toward us. And that while we were yet, you don't have to be good. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're broken. God's going to fix you. He's going to come to you while you're broken. And He'll come fix you. Won't you trust Jesus today as your Savior? The alternative, if you don't go to Jesus Christ, the alternative is this. You will perish forever and ever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. And you don't want that. No sane individual would want to spend their eternity in torment. We want to be in the comfort of the presence of God. And so may I ask, if you're lost today, may I give you a word of warning? Get Jesus Christ. Before you walk out those doors, before you walk any of these doors, get to know Jesus Christ and the salvation He gives. I implore you, I ask you, I beg you, I compel you, come to Jesus if you don't know Him as your Savior. What's the topic of our message this morning? It's simple. Warning, beware, caution. Warning, beware, caution. I want to talk about the principle of admonition. I want to talk about the principle of admonition and what that entails in the church with the Word of God, God Himself, and us believers. What in the world is admonition? It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. The word admonish is in your scriptures. And it's a command in the scriptures as brothers and sisters to admonish one another. I want to bring that to light this morning. Romans 15 and verse number 14. If you're not there by this time, something is wrong. But if you pretend you're there, stand up and let's honor the word of God. Romans 15 and verse number 14. There's so many intelligent people in the room. I feel so, so dumb. So help me out, guys. Romans 15 and verse number 14. So many intelligent people. Wow, beautiful people. Dressed up, sharp, smells good. Gonna be great. Romans 15 and verse number 14. And Jesus is amongst us. That's the better part of all of it. Look at Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Pay attention to that. Full of goodness, filled. Another thing to pay attention to. Filled with all knowledge. And then here's the crux of the message. This is where we're going to be. Also able, or let me say this, able also, look at your Bible, to admonish one another. It is something that we participate in as a Christian. We admonish or we're being admonished. We admonish or we're being admonished. And sometimes all at the same time. And God says we need to be full of goodness and filled with knowledge. And let's go ahead and pray and we'll go on this morning. Bless us, I ask, O Lord. Thank you again for the people you brought to your house. We know you draw men to yourself. And Lord, earlier I preached the gospel very simply. If anybody's lost in our midst, Lord, help them to know you more than anything else today. They need to know you as their Lord and Savior. They can find hope in this very, very dark world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Warning, beware, caution. Part one. There's no way I'm going to finish this morning. And so I want to continue this thought this afternoon. It's one way, practically, I feel I can finish on time. All right? Warning, beware, caution. And God says that in verse number 14, you find this, admonish one another. Admonish one another. You find the word able. So it means to say, without you being full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, it would be hard for you and might not give you the ability to admonish. And so now we have what we call prerequisites. That's a big word for me. I asked my wife what it meant. And I picked the right word, Brother Dan. I picked the right word. So, prerequisite, what you need. Oh man, I feel good about that. What you need in order for you to be able to admonish well. A lot of us open our mouths and give exhortation. And we admonish people. But it would be good if we look at the prerequisite and we spend a lot of time, as much time as telling each other what to do and how to do it. If we learn to be prepared and be, the Bible says, vessels meet for the master's use. We need to clearly pay attention to the two other things in there. What is the first one? And it's an order, I believe, of importance. Full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, not just some. A lot of us spout out an advice and counsel, and our point of view is spelled out of our mouth a lot of times without us hearing the conclusion of the whole matter. We're only hearing one side of a situation. We're only hearing from the person that maybe we're biased to in a situation, and we proceed to make judgment based on those very, 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 very missing ingredients of information on the other side. And a lot of our admonition of one another is just like the friends that Job had. If you read the book of Job and you watch what those men said, they did not say anything wrong within the framework of their conversation or what they said. What they said was really good stuff. But they failed to judge and discern Job's situation, and they spoke ill. They spoke ill. They misspoke because they were not properly judging, discerning the situation Job was in. And friends, I don't want to speak to you, and I don't want to be a help to you in a way that my help becomes a hurt to you, because I failed to be full of goodness and filled with all knowledge before I opened my mouth. I'm going to try to be done. I guarantee you, I'm going to try to be done. What is the idea of full of goodness? Can I make it simple? It's caring. You have something in your mind that you want to do, and your motive is good. You want to help. You're coming from a good heart, a good place. When you're about to admonish or give we're going to learn what admonish means here, so you understand now why I'm saying this. But full of goodness will help you have a good spirit before you say something. And being full of goodness, it will come from maybe, hopefully, a meek heart, as it says in Galatians chapter number 6, verses 1 to 3. To restore somebody, to help somebody, it'd be nice if you were meek about it. All right? If you had lowliness of heart and you have some empathy as you are about to say some things. All right? Full of goodness, regards in my mind, is caring. Number two, it says, be filled with knowledge, knowing. Let us know something better before we speak. Let's know what we're talking about before we say something in conclusion of a subject. It's nothing wrong to discuss a particular subject and don't conclude your final judgment if you're wanting to learn, if you're inquiring. All right? There's a lot of conversation my wife and I have had, and they're all conversation of inquiring. We're learning a situation. We're in the middle of a situation, the both of us, and we're learning where each other stands as it stands in the moment. But it's not final. It's not a final conversation. It's not a declarative and saying, this is what I believe, bless God, no matter what happens. No, not all my conversation is that way. And if you're honest as a Christian, your conversations are not all final. There are some conversations that are of nature you're inquiring. You're asking to know more. You're asking to know more about the situation so that you can do have that final moment and say, this is not where I believe. After I heard everything, this is not where I believe it. All right? Solomon, the preacher, will read some of his writings here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Did he not say that at the very end? He said a bunch of stuff in the beginning. And at the very end, he gave us a consolation. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I found out after life here is so much vanity. If you have money, you have fame, you have it all, you're the big cheese on this life. He says it's all vanity. It's all vain. But he gave us a consolation at the end of the book. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. What? Keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. He gave us God at the very end of the book. And with God, life can be better. And it's so true. With God, life is better. With God, life is better. I don't care what you're going through today. If that phrase helped you, praise the Lord. If you have God, it's better. You have sickness today? Well, with God, it's better. Well, if you have financial problems, with God, it's better than without God. You have relationship problems. You are not eye to eye with some family members. Well, with God, it's better. All right? With God, it's better. Get knowledge and get the goodness in your heart. Those are prerequisites. As you see in this verse, those come before you admonish one another. A lot of us are admonishing one another without those two things. And the people that we're admonishing are seeing it and they're saying, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And may I say to you, as I preach very passionate about this subject, you know me well. If I know something, I'm going to try to be fair with a situation. You've seen me done decisions, and sometimes it's hard to find where the fair line is. Not to be biased when it comes to problems in the church. Two people that you love dearly, they don't see eye to eye, and you're the pastor, you're the mediator of the situation, and you're trying to make it right. And it's not always easy, but if you have seen, I've tried with God's Holy Ghost to be fair. There's a situation currently that is coming to that. And I'm glad it's somewhat resolving itself. Praise the Lord. There's some that are starting. There's some that are starting. And I'm watching and I'm like, woo-hoo, here's the next storm. As I say, praise the Lord for that one gone. And as I turn, here comes the next one. And you need God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Every decision that involves the church needs God's wisdom. Right? As a pastor, I'm asking and seeking. And you know what I try to do in every circumstance that I have to pronounce a judgment because I have authority. I have to pronounce judgment. Guess what I ask? And I take my time. And it seems like for you that are impatient, when is he going to make a decision finally? Probably never because it's so hard. But I'm going to take my time to know every little detail before I make my final blow and final say. Because that's the Bible. That's what God says. Don't be hasty in your business. Don't be hasty. Be prayerful. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Be circumspect. Be sober. There's so much in Scripture that tells us to be careful with some decisions about to happen. Now, let's define admonish. According to the 1828, I'm making up dates now. 1828, Noah Webster Dictionary. Admonish is to warn or to notify of a fault. That's the primary definition. All right? To warn or notify of a fault. You are a bearer of news that to someone you're giving it to will, if they see and understand, will reflect some of their insecurities, will speak of their vulnerability in life, will speak of something maybe they're not want anybody to know, they're ashamed of. Would you, in common sense, then be very careful how you approach it? Could somebody testify and that would be a wise thing to do? Right? And so, Christian, why are we not taking the time to care and to know before we proceed to doing this particular command that God wants us to do with one another? Why? Why do we have to admonish one another? Because admonishing one another is part of God's will for every Christian to have iron sharpen iron. What does admonish do? It protects us, it makes us better, and it makes us glad. Advertisement are similar to this. Now, the advertisement of the word lies to you. Now, if you get that shaver, guys, you're not going to have the abs that guy is being shown. It just won't work. I don't care what gillette you use. I don't care what shaver. It's got five blades. You're never going to have that iron board of an ab. It just won't do it. It won't. They lie to you. They lie. They always lie to you. But in God's word, there's two things he warns us. One is of an impending danger, and it will result in disaster. Another truth about God's admonition is this. If you do something as he's commanded you and you obey it, there is a coming blessing. So not all of the instructions and preaching of admonition not only comes all the time as a negative, all right? There's two sides to it. Just like a coin, there's three sides. I know you're smart, Alec. But the two sides, the head and the tail, all right? Let's just keep it simple now. And one, he warns us of a negative result of an action if we partake in it. He says, don't do it. The other side, he says, do this. Why? Because there's something good coming because of you doing that by faith. All right? Do we understand that? And so that's what God says. Think about that when he's admonishing you. All right? Admonish, to warn or notify of a fault. To reprove with mildness. To reprove with mildness. You know, when I talk to you, I don't talk to you like I'm preaching. Right? When I've discussed some things with you, either I'm confronting you with a decision or an action you have done, and I'm going to talk to you about it, or in light, you come to me with a question, you want me to make a decision, I'm talking to you. You know me, I'm not yelling like this. Elizabeth, put your hands down. Right? It's different when I'm preaching. All right? Because you're far away from me. Look at how far we are. There's a great gulf fix. Right? We're far away. Not implying, all right, where you are on this. All right? Come on. Man, I have to say that all the time here in the church. I really mean the best. All right? I really do. Some of you are like, what are you trying to say, Pastor? All right. You know the Bible way too much. Anyways, good for you. What I'm saying is this. Right? There's a difference between counseling and preaching. There's some counsel that we're going to be given by teaching. And there's going to be counsel given by preaching. It will happen, okay? But you also need a one-on-one. Where Nathan came to David, he did not preach that to the crowd. He came to David himself. How can I help you with a private matter if I'm going to preach about it? All right. Our subject is Brother Kelly Dye. All right. Monday, you have done this. Let's just expose it to everybody. No. Counseling is private. And preaching is public, all right? And so, in common sense, there's some times that I have to give warning publicly, generally. And there's some warning that is given privately and very, very specifically to the situation you're in, all right? Don't be afraid of your pastor. Come to us if you have something private in matter. And let's not talk to everybody in the church, all right? I don't know what you're trying to do. But I'm not going to give you any advice in front of everybody if it's a private matter. I have an office. It's the upper room. It's got a bridge. It's got lights. I got AC up there. If it's cold, if it's hot outside, I got heater up there. If it's warm, if it's cold outside, come on up. I'll talk to you privately and expose to you and show you what God says on that particular subject. And we admonish one another. We have to learn to discern, is this a public matter? Or is this a private matter? That would help us to not hurt one another unintentionally. If you are doing it intentionally, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. All right? I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You're doing it unintentionally. All right? To warn or notify of a fault. To reprove with mildness. To counsel against wrong practice. Who likes that job? Who wants to do that? You're the bearer of bad news. You get to go to people and say, you've done wrong again. You're an awful person. Who would like that job? None of us, introverted, we don't want to talk to somebody at all and confront them about anything. Even to say, nice hat you're wearing. We don't even want to do that. Let alone do this. And the gospel message bears bad news. How in the world are you going to soul win if you have a hard time with this idea? And by the way, when you go out soul winning, remember in the Bible it talks about we bear precious seed. We go out weeping and come in again rejoicing. You see the care and the tenderness. We're supposed to be moved with compassion. Right? It's all based on goodness. Something has to be good in us. There's something, knowledge that we know, some truth that will benefit them. Either warning them, not go that way. There's a tree that's down. Don't go that way. Go this way. Or you can say, hey, go that way. They're giving away free steaks. Go. All right? So that's admonition. to caution or advise, to instruct or direct. How are we? Are we good men? Especially, it's always stereotypical men, but I think women have problem. There's a lot of them driving now. I love women. I love my wife driving. Because it makes me go to take a nap. When I trust her enough, she could get us. And we always got where we need to go. Praise the Lord. If we have a hard time getting instruction to get from one point to the next in geography, how are we doing spiritually? When somebody goes through your finances and you let them and they have the knowledge and they have the goodness of their heart to care for you, and now they're going to instruct you where you've derailed. And if you can continue that way, you're going to be in trouble. Let me help you out. How do you take it when somebody admonishes you? And how do you do it when you're the one admonishing? Because remember, it's happening all at the same time. You're either admonishing or you're being admonished. All at the same time, it's happening. So how are you doing it, giving it, and how are you doing it, getting it? Right? We should have goodness and know that they care. Right? Here's a saying that we all know. People don't care what you know until they know you care. Let me read the verse again to you, and I think that's where they got it. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. There's the care. There's the knowing, able to admonish one another. What a secret ingredient God gave us here. Before you give a heavy advice to someone, make sure you know and they know you care. It's coming from a good heart. How do you do that? Take him out to eat. That's a good way to do it. Some people love to go out to eat. And if you pay, they'll really go out to eat. Take them out. Spend some quality time with people. Invest in their life by you taking some quality time out of your life. Well, I'm just going to tell them it's easier. Yes, but it's ineffective. It's ineffective. They're going to hear it from here and come out the other way. I learn, having children, the more I invest good times and memories. Oh, I'm preaching to myself now. Hallelujah. And give them those good memories. It's so easy to give them instruction later when they reflect back and that dad loves me and dad knows better. And when I give those instruction, it goes into ears and hearts and minds that are receptive. Should we not give any advice and should we not do anything like that? No, we should. Because we admonish one another. We have to get there. But before we get there, let's get some good old love in our heart for people. Let's get some benefit of the doubt with some people. And let's know what we're talking about. Oh, Mark. Mom, I'm so scared to send people to people that I know is biased or they don't know everything. And they're going to say what they think they know. And it hurts rather than it helps. It hurts rather than it helps. It's important to communicate, inquiring. That's part of fellowship. Inquire. We're quick to give a judgment call before we inquire. Right? You're going to go out to eat. How do you know where to take this couple to eat? By what you do. You make some inquiry. You find out who they know and ask them, what's their favorite place to go? What do they like? Then you make your move. Why? Because it's well accepted. They'll look at you and say, wow, you'll find favor in them because they took the time to think of you and care for you. If we want to be effective, I believe this. You can tell the truth as it is because the truth, God says, it will not return void. It's powerful. But if we learn to be a little bit strategic and we learn to know some of the truths about admonition, if we get some heart in there and we get some knowing over the situation, I think our advices and our counsel that would help save lives of people and teenagers and children and adults might be taken better and might take some root better in people's hearts. Somebody says this, the gospel is offensive in itself. You don't need to help it. The gospel is offensive by itself. The Bible says it is a rock of offense. It's hard already as it is. As humans, we don't need to help it to make it harder and make it more offensive. We just need to be kind, caring, be true to the truth of the scripture, no compromise. Tell them about Jesus, that they have a sin that causes separation, a place called the lake of fire, but there's Jesus that came and died for them. There's an offer of a free gift. If they truly accept that, God will save them. Okay? And other truths you might have to share with somebody else. All right? Wow. I'll give you point number one. I have 6 points. There's no way I'm going to finish. I doubt I'll finish this afternoon. We'll just make a study of it. Look at this. Point number one. Where can we expect admonishment to come from? Where can we expect admonishment to come from? Where is it going to come from? The Bible talks about where it's going to come from. All right? Number one, obviously, the Lord. Number one is the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 5. We'll stick with Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 5. And then after that, we'll go to Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 12. And we'll be done this morning. And I'll continue this idea this afternoon if you come back at 3 p.m. The Lord says, Hebrews 8 and verse number 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Remember, the making of the tabernacle that later became the temple, right? That was the house of God in Exodus. God says, I want to make a house, a dwelling place, so that God says with this mindset that I may dwell with you. Because God wanted to be with his people all the time. Sin is the one that robbed that from us, but God wants to be with us. And he gave Moses specific instruction and told Moses not to deviate. All right? And so admonishment comes from God. As you read the Bible, God will speak to you by the form of the Holy Ghost. And when you read the Bible, you're listening to preaching, the Holy Ghost is working. So be expecting that admonishment will come from God. What? Reproof, instruction, notification. We love our apps with all its notification. Well, God uses them too. He will notify you via the Holy Ghost. All right? And their connection is very good. It doesn't matter where you are. They don't even need satellite service. They are so good. He can notify you wherever you are. The best app I have is the Lord. It gets to where it needs to be. Matthew 2 and verse number 12. And being warned, that's the idea of admonish, the word warn. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now at this time God spoke through dreams and angels. And this were the wise men that came to Herod that was going to find where the Bethlehem star is, because they want to worship the child Jesus, right? And they were warned by God to not go that way again. Why? Because they don't want any harm done to Jesus at this time, before Mary and Joseph would have to go to Nazareth, all right? Or to Egypt to flee, all right? So number one, we can expect admonishment to come from the Lord. What's the prerequisite? Full of goodness and filled with all knowing, all right? Those will help us in helping one another. Let us go ahead and pray this morning, and we'll end our service this morning. Lord, thank you. I pray that you'd bless us. As the pianist would come now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, our time of pondering this idea of admonishing. Lord, we are supposed to warn people, saved and lost, and we're supposed to receive warning and advice and notifications and things of that nature to help our lives be better, to make us better Christians. Help us in exercising, admonishing one another, that we would have care for one another, we will have full of goodness, and that we will fill with knowledge. Help us to do it with the knowledge, the best knowledge we could possibly have before we make any judgment. Lord, bless us, help us to internalize this, make this a part of our daily life as we relate to one another in the church and even lost people and even our loved ones, our family members. Help us to be careful. In Jesus' name we ask it all. amen and amen.